You know, last week Mr. Elliott ended a sermon and gave us three choices. I think most of us remember that. If you don't remember the choices, it was a choice where to land a small aircraft that was going to crash land. And one of the choices was a cornfield. Another choice was a shallow lake. And another choice was a citrus grove. And based on those choices, one seemed pretty obvious to me. I know our song leader last week chose the cornfield, had to apologize to his wife because he's no longer with us. Well, I kind of made the same mistake, but I chose the shallow lake, and sweetheart, I'm sorry. I'm no longer here either. But I had to laugh when Mr. Elliott ended his sermon last week based on the way he did it, giving us three choices. And I want to start today by giving you the title of today's message. What kind of choices are we making? And when I heard Mr. Elliott close the way he did, and I knew the title that I had selected some weeks back, I had to laugh. Now, every day, each and every one of us are faced with choices in life. Some of the choices are fairly routine. They just deal with day-to-day life, you know, what shoes to wear, what clothes to wear, what to have to eat, maybe what show to watch, things of that nature. You could think of, you know, a plethora of choices that each one of us make every day that are, you know, like you say, just part of life. But when it comes to our calling, being God's people, the choices that we make are much more important than those everyday life choices that we might make. They have consequences sometimes. If we make the wrong choice, there are consequences. You know, living here in Arizona, we don't have earthquakes, we don't have tsunamis, we don't have hurricanes, we don't have, a lot of the issues that other places in the world, even the United States, happen to have. And we need to think about how, if our life was threatened, if our finances were threatened, if our security was threatened in some way, what kind of choices would we make in those kind of situations? And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I want to touch on some of the choices that we make as God's people. Well, first, it's pretty obvious. If you're sitting here today, I hope no one was forced here today. You made a choice. To be part of God's church, to accept the calling, that was a choice each and every one of us consciously made. If you're here, you made a conscious choice to be part of God's family, that you want to go on, that you want to be part of His eternal family. At the end of the day, who we are is defined somewhat or in part by the choices we make every day in our life. We'll be judged. We'll be judged in part by the choices we make in our life. Now, what kind of choices are there as God's people? Well, you know, I'm just going to touch a few of them. There's so many that we can't hit them all. But I'm going to start off with a few. Fasting. Fasting is a choice. Now, how often do we make that choice? How often do we choose to fast? Fasting is one of those tough subjects where, I love food and I love to eat. And fasting, I don't like to have a dry mouth. I like to drink water. But fasting for each and every one of us is a choice. Well, let's move on a little bit. Prayer. Prayer is a choice each and every one of us make. And let's just continue on. I'm just going to touch the areas that we may choose. Serving is a choice. It's a choice that we make consciously. It's something that we consciously make. Keeping the Sabbath day holy is a choice we make. Do we sometimes compromise on keeping the Sabbath day holy? Putting others before ourselves. Humility. Not being arrogant, not being egotistical. Putting the needs before others, before ourselves. Do we consider the needs of others? It's a choice we make. To study. To study God's Word. How often do we study? And how intently do we study? These are some topics we're gonna cover today and see some of the examples and choices that were made in the Bible. There are a lot of different examples of some of the choices that are made in the Bible. You know, meditating on God's law and on the things that are good. We're told to think on these things. How often do we shut the world off? How often do we just close out the world, throw the stress away, these responsibilities that life throws at us? And we have to consciously make a choice to shut the world off and focus on God's law, focus on God's way of life, focus on the things that are good. I want to read a transcript, or just some excerpts from a transcript of a Beyond Today program that aired about 4 weeks ago when I was inspired to start putting this sermon together. And some of you may have seen it, and I'm hoping quite a few of you did. The title was 72 Hours to Chaos. 72 Hours to Chaos. And it was hosted by Mr. Gary Petty. Well, the announcer opened with, "How thin is civilization's veneer? What could cause average people to steal or turn violent?" And that's something we all need to ask ourselves. It's easy to make choices today when life is fairly routine. Again, we don't have a hurricane. We don't have a tidal wave. We don't have a tsunami. We don't have a monsoon season going on. Well, in August, we may have things to kind of, you know, whine about. But right now, life is fairly simple, and the choices we make are routine. Well, Mr. Petty opened the Beyond Today telecast this way. "In 2005, I worked as a volunteer at a shelter for people displaced by Hurricane Katrina. There was a lot of confusion as hungry, filthy, frightened people were picked off the roofs of their houses in New Orleans, taken to an airport, and flown to San Antonio, Texas. Tried to comprehend what had happened to them." So this was Hurricane Katrina. We just saw the effects, or we're still seeing the effects in the Philippines from the typhoon. Thank you. I was looking for that word. I apologize. It wasn't in my notes. The typhoon. And there today, right now, there are 2 million people estimated homeless. Going on again from the transcript from the Beyond Today program. "One young woman sat on a cot staring aimlessly. The woman, in obvious shock, ignored the activity swirling around her. I finally stopped," and again, this is Mr. Petty, "leaned down and asked her if I could help. She looked up with eyes filled with despair and asked, 'What happened to my baby? What happened to my baby?'" Can you imagine the state of mind? You know, your world has just been turned upside down. Your child is missing. What happened to my baby? I don't think any of us really want to imagine this or put ourselves in that situation, but I think it's critical, it's vital that we need to think about the kind of choices you and I would make if placed in a similar circumstance. Would we still make the same decisions? Obviously, we need to consider how we would deal with this. Now, Mr. Petty continues, "I never knew what happened to that woman or if she ever found her baby. Since that time, I have often thought about how human life can be degraded by destructive forces of natural disasters. Even more disturbing is the reality of how easily it is for human beings to devalue each other." That's what happens when life becomes chaotic, when life becomes full of stress, when your life is being threatened, when your stuff, your physical possessions are being threatened, everything has just been taken away from you. The choices you think you might make may not be the same as the ones you'll actually make. I'm going to drop down in the transcript a little bit. "How quickly would your neighbors turn against each other if there was no electricity?" And think about this, no electricity for 1 week. 1 week. How quickly would people resort to stealing or violence if there was another international Great Depression like what happened back in the 1930s? And we all need to think about this. It's very, very comforting right here. I see a few people with fans. It may be a little warm in here today, but actually the temperature is somewhat comfortable. What kind of choices would we make? Would we be thinking about those in discomfort around us? Or are we thinking about our own needs at this point in time? What does God tell us to do? Well, let's look at some examples. Let's turn to our first scripture today. Let's turn over to, I think, a pretty obvious book to go through this topic. Let's go to the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11 quickly. This is where I want to start. And there's something that stood out to me. Anyway, hopefully it stands out to you. Hebrews 11. And I want to start reading in verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, when he became of age, or by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And verse 25, choosing, he chose something here, chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Hey, when things are going well, it's easy to, you know, the choices we have are pretty simple. When things aren't going well, the choices we might have might not be. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. That's a choice, to look to the reward rather than the physical stuff that may be available. And think about what Moses did. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of Israel. He could have been living in the lap of luxury. It was a choice he made, a conscious choice. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And that's another thing that really influences the choices we make. Fear. When we're afraid, we make some pretty bad choices from time to time. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, I want to share a quick story. When my wife and I first came into the church, we were baptized in the church, and that was back in 1986. We were baptized, I believe it was April 86, and it really didn't take too long to realize this wasn't going to be an easy life. You know, there was a lot of stuff to it. And we had both, now this happened very rapidly. Within a very short amount of time, 1 minute we're in the world, I'm working overtime on the weekends. You know, the weekends were time to recover from hangovers and work overtime, right? I mean, that's the way the world operates to a certain degree. And to have your eyes open to the Sabbath day, wow, you keep it. It's a choice you make. It's a choice we make. It's why we're sitting here today. Well, something happened, and tithing was another big choice we had to make. My wife has always taken full control of the budget. I can't do a good job with that. So my wife has always controlled the budget, and tithing was something that was very important. Well, after coming into God's church, suddenly I'm paying 10% to tithe, 10% to second tithe, and my overtime has been kind of taken away from not being able to work the weekend. So I had learned, my wife and I discussed it, that the tithe check hadn't gone out. It had been written, it's in the envelope, but our finances were really, really tight. We had a decision to make. We had a choice to make at this point in time. Do we choose to do what God commanded us to do, or do we do what the world would and say, you know what, I'll just go ahead and repent about this, and we got to pay our bills. Well, we did what I hope all of us would do. We put the check in the mailbox. And where we happen to live at this time, you had the community outgoing mailbox, and then you had your personal. When we put the check in the mailbox, we did it on faith. We opened our mailbox, and I think all those that have paid taxes have seen that bright orange envelope. We opened the envelope, and there it was. There was a check in the envelope. As I recall this story, the tithe on that check that we just received was about the same as the tithe check that we were stressing about sending to the home office. Now, does God always do that? I like to believe that God showed me. He blessed us for doing the right thing at that time. I'm sure others received checks that same day. I know the way I prefer to think about it. God strengthened my faith, and I'll always remember that choice I made and try not to make a bad choice regarding those kind of situations again. Turn over with me, if you will, to Mark 12. Mark 12. And there was a choice here that was made. And we're going to look at some of the choices that were made in the Bible. Some of the choices that we need to consider in our own lives. Mark 12 and verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how people put money in the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes up a quadrants. She had a choice. When she threw this in, this is all she had. She made a choice right there. She was going to live by faith. She was going to choose to do the right thing. And she threw in all she had. And verse 43, so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in. Now, I'm not trying to compare what my wife and I did to the widow and the widow's mite. This is just an example of some of the choices that you and I need to consider in our everyday lives. Now, finances could get tough, and we sometimes are faced with very tough choices regarding what we're going to do. There were also some other very difficult. What happens when our life is threatened? When our security, literally our physical lives are threatened. Now, hopefully we can't relate to this next situation, but I want us all to try to put ourselves in this spot. Let's turn over to Daniel 3 real quick. And I'm not going to read all of this. I'm just going to sum it up to a certain degree. Daniel 3. And in Daniel 3, we know that Nebuchadnezzar wasn't exactly one of the best people on the face of the planet at that time. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were part of the people that kind of answered to him to a certain degree. Starting in verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Because why? Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. To Nebuchadnezzar's gods. To acknowledge Nebuchadnezzar's gods. They stood true. They made a choice. Now, what kind of a choice would we make? Now, I want you to consider this carefully. We need to. Okay, all you have to do is just acknowledge a God that we know is fictitious. All we have to do is reject the God we worship, and our lives are going to be spared. Now, I can't really relate to that situation, but it's given to us as an example. These are people whose lives are in absolute guaranteed danger at this minute in time. They made a choice. Each one of these men made a choice, and hopefully if it ever happened to either any of us, we could make a similar choice. And he commanded that certain mighty men of valor, and this is verse 20, who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning furnace. Now, as we go down, dropping down to verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to the council, "Did we not cast three men into the midst of the fire?" Well, hopefully most of us, if not all of us, already know this. There was a fourth entity in that furnace with them, and they were saved. Does God always save us from those fiery trials such as that? Of course not. We can go back into the faith chapter in Hebrews 11 in the latter verses, and we can see that there were those that were sawn in two. They were burned at the stake. They were hung on the cross or on the tree. There were those where God didn't protect them in that last hour, so to speak. But there are also examples where God did. He saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'll just refer to this verse, and that's Job 34:4. Let us choose justice for ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They made a choice. They made a choice. Even though their lives were in absolute harm's way, they were going to die. They lived by faith. Now, we all know that the end is coming soon. It's coming. Every day that we're on this earth, we're one day closer to the day of trouble, the time of trouble. What kind of choices are we going to make then? Now, I want to talk a little bit more by going to Matthew 19, because there's a pretty good example in Matthew 19 of sometimes we make choices that are pretty good all of our life. We really do. We make a lot of good choices throughout our life, but we don't make all the choices that we need to make. And in Matthew 19, I want to start in verse 16. Now behold, one came to him and said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" It's a good question. So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which one?" Jesus said, "You shall not," and you can go on. Dropping down to verse 20, the young man said to him, "All these things, I've kept the commandments." You might even say, you know, I've been in God's church. I've been keeping these ways all my life. I've grew up with this. So Jesus said to him in verse 21, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." There was a choice made in verse 22, and one that we all really need to consider, because this one came to Jesus. He's done all these good things. He's kept the commandments. He's been part of he's followed all the laws, so on and so forth down the road. But what else? But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. How important is our stuff? Do we sometimes put our needs above and before the needs of others? Our stuff, hey, I know I've got a recliner at home when I go home after services. I like sitting in that recliner. My stuff is somewhat important, but is it the most important thing? Is it something that I'm willing to give up right now? And we're talking about a lot more than just a soft, cushy recliner. You know, another example of some of the decisions or choices that were made in the Bible that we need to think about. Matthew 25, and I'm not going to turn there, just refer to it, parable of the talents. Now, we know that there were some good choices in that parable, and there were some bad choices in that parable. We've got to consider the choices, brethren, that we're making, that we make. Now, one of the apostles, who at the time was a disciple, which we are, brethren, we're all disciples of Jesus Christ. If we're sitting here listening to this, we're all disciples. But this is, sometimes we can know, we can be foretold of things to come, and we can say, I'd never do that. I wouldn't do that. I'd make the good choice. Well, in Matthew 26, and from about verses 31 through 35, we can read about Jesus when he predicted the denial that Peter was going to deny Jesus Christ. And he told him three times, you're going to deny me three times. And we know Peter's response was, no way, I would not do that. But dropping down, and let's turn over real quick. I won't read all this for the sake of time. In Matthew 26, we're going to drop down to verse 69. Now Peter sat outside the courtyard, Matthew 26:69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he made a choice right then. Even knowing that Christ had predicted this, but he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. He made a choice. He knew before that Christ had predicted this, but he's still making the choice that I wouldn't do that. When his security was in jeopardy, when his life was threatened, he made a different choice. But he didn't just make it once. In verse 71, and when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath. He gave his word. No, man. He chose to deny him again. I do not know the man. And he made the choice three times. Verse 73, and a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you. They knew. They knew that this man, he was an apostle or disciple at the time of Christ. They knew. Verse 74, then he began to curse and swear. What choices did he make then? He changed his whole personality. He began doing things that he would never have done, but he was being threatened. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Have you ever made a choice or made a decision that you just regret to this day? I know, unfortunately, I've got a few of them on my list. I won't share any of them with you today. But there are a lot of choices that we make that we should really consider beforehand. How do we make the right choice? We prepare. How do we choose our friends? I won't have you turn there, but I'm going to refer to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12 and verse 26. How do we choose our friends? The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. We've got a lot of choices to make, brethren. We've got a whole lot of choices to make. Some of these choices that we make require sacrifice. Some of the right choices. Sometimes the choices, what seems to be right, isn't always right. Sometimes the right choice isn't always the obvious choice. We know the end is coming. And in Mark 13, I won't have you turn there. Mark 13, and I'm going to start reading in verse 32. But the day and the hour no one knows, even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like the man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. We choose to be attentive. We choose not to ignore the admonition of Christ. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, or at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Verse 36, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And that's a choice we make. If we're going to be ready for Christ, we choose to be ready. Now I want to turn back to Matthew once again. Matthew 7. And in Matthew 7, in verse 26, this is a choice that we've all really got to consider. Matthew 7, 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, does not choose to do them, you hear them, will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descends, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And it was a great fall. Well, we choose, we make the right choices. And we do that by staying in tune with God. Brethren, as I start to conclude here, we've got a few things that we really need to consider. We really do. Now, as I started out, some of the choices we make today are fairly routine. Some of the choices we may have to make in the future as the day of trouble comes may not be so easy. Now, fasting is a choice that we all have. It's a choice. How often do we fast? We can see in Matthew 4, and I'm not going to turn there, Matthew 4 and verse 2, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but he left us an example. We also know that Moses fasted. We see many, many examples of fasting. But if the only time we're fasting is on the Day of Atonement, I think we're all missing the point. But that's a choice we make. If we're only going to do what's required of us, what the Bible tells us to do, and not push forward and do more than what's just required, the basics. Brethren, we want to excel. We don't want to just make the grade. Prayer is a choice. How often do we pray? How long do we pray when we do pray? We've seen examples of Daniel, King David, who made a choice to pray three times a day. Well, it doesn't necessarily say how long they prayed, and I'm not trying to make this a sermon out of prayer. But how long do each one of us choose to pray? Now, serving is another choice, and it should be an easy choice for all of us. We're God's people. Do we visit those that are in need, those that can't be here with us today? Do we call them? Are we there for them? Do we serve the way we should? It's a choice we need to make, each and every one of us. And again, keeping the Sabbath. Do we compromise from time to time? What do we do on the Sabbath day that keeps us strong? We're here with each other. We're commanded to be here. And we all made a choice to be here. To humble ourselves. The needs of others. Well, how important is your stuff? It's a choice we have to make. To put the needs of others before our own, that's a choice we make. Now, meditating on God's law and the things that are good is a choice. And we also can see in Matthew 4 that when Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't do it in front of everyone. He was in the wilderness. He chose to be apart from the world. Do we often, or do we occasionally, how often do we choose to break away from this world, shut the world off, meditate and focus on God's way of life and God's law? How often are we doing that? Are we doing that? Are we choosing to do that? If we aren't choosing to do the things that are basics now, the easy things now, when it comes time, when our finances are in jeopardy, when our life is in jeopardy, when our security is being threatened, how can we make the right choices then if we're not doing the easy things today? You know, again, many times the obvious choice isn't always the right choice. Mr. Elliott pointed that out last week in his sermon. When he gave us three choices, well, what seemed obvious to me wasn't obvious. And sometimes the choices we need to make aren't as cut and dried as what they may be. As the day of trouble grows closer, brethren, we need to be ready to make the hard decisions, make the hard choices. We need to think about what kind of choices we are making today.